Back in the day when my girls were born, it was not easy to share photos and videos with loved ones, but you have a fantastic option available, the Family Album app. The Family Album app was created in 2015 and has operated in the long term to give parents a secure and easy way to share photos and videos with loved ones. It's a totally secure personal haven for your family's memories. I love that there's no third-party ads, no unwanted eyes. Now let me share some of the great features that make the Family Album app a go-to app. First off, the app automatically sorts photos and videos by month, allowing you to swipe back in time and see how your child has grown. No more scrolling through endless feeds or searching through folders. Another cool feature about the Family Album app is you can order 8 free photo prints every month to be delivered to your home. It's really nice to have some tangible pictures to hold onto or share to document each month of your baby's life. Plus, the Family Album app has unlimited storage and it is totally free. Yes, you heard that right. No more worrying about running out of space or being bombarded by ads when you're just trying to relive those heartwarming moments. So if you are still trying to use other messaging apps for your kids' photos, it is time to level up your family photo game with a free photo sharing app. Head over to the App Store today, search Family Album, it's all one word, download the app, and start creating a legacy of love one photo at a time.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy 2, get 2 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is a birth story episode, and hearing her intense story actually gave me palpitations. Welcome to the All About Pregnancy and Birth podcast. If you're having a baby in the hospital, you're giving birth in a system that too often takes away power from women over what happens in their own bodies. I'm Dr. Nicole Calloway Rankins, a practicing board-certified OBGYN who's had the privilege of helping well over 1,000 babies into this world. I've been a doctor for over 20 years, and I'm here to help you take back your power, advocate for yourself, and have the beautiful pregnancy and birth that you deserve. This podcast is for educational purposes only, and it's not a substitute for medical advice. Check out the full disclaimer at drnicolerankins.com/disclaimer. Now let's get to it. Hello there. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. This is episode number 255. Whether this is your first time listening or you have been here before, I am so glad you're spending some time with me today. In today's birth story episode, we have Amy. Amy is an architect living in the Bay Area with her wonderful husband, George, brand new baby, Nico, and 2 kitty cats. Amy loves creating space for learning by focusing her professional career on modernizing public schools. In her free time, Amy loves to travel and spend time with her family. Now, Amy's labor started fast. However, once things got going, she actually got pretty sick, and it was her description of how sick she got that gave me those palpitations while recording her episode. It was actually difficult for the doctors to figure out what was causing her to get sick, and ultimately, it was discovered that she had an infection that had gotten into her bloodstream, and it led her to having a C-section because of the baby being under distress. Amy wanted to share her story because she felt like there's too much cultural shame about being in the hospital and interventions in the hospital, like getting an epidural. She believes that it ignores what it feels like to be in the midst of a complicated labor. Even though she didn't want a cesarean, her body knew that's what it needed in that moment. She also didn't have a TV moment of joy at her son's birth. Her love for him had to grow over time. She herself desperately needed to know that other moms experienced the same thing, and that was hard to find right after birth, so she wanted to share her story to help others feel not so alone. I guarantee you, you are going to be on the edge of your seat and really learn a lot from Amy's birth story. Now, before we get into the episode, let me do a listener shout out. This is from Madison NW86, and she left me this review in Apple Podcast. The title of the review says, "Info good, but ... And then the review says, "The actual information contained within the podcast is good, but so much of the time is spent listening to ads and self-promotion. It's a little frustrating." Well, thank you so much, Madison, for taking the time to leave me your honest opinion. I totally get why that's frustrating. So let me just take a second and share with you all why I do have ads in the podcast. Making this podcast is not free for me. There's a lot of time, labor that goes into writing, editing, disseminating the content, and people, of course, deserve to be compensated for their work that goes into this. And I really never want to put any of the podcast content behind a paywall. It's important to me that this podcast remain completely free and accessible to all. Although I may give some consideration to putting ad-free episodes behind a paywall. If that's something that you think you might be interested in, then definitely let me know. But in order to help cover the cost of making the podcast, I have ads. And just like all of my content, I'm very intentional about what ads I have in the podcast, and I choose sponsors for the ads that I read that are products that I genuinely think folks might want to hear about. And I also make it clear when the ads are coming so that if you want to skip them, you can. So I'm sorry that it's frustrating, but I hope that gives you some additional context into why I have ads in the podcast. And then as for self-promotion, I don't really consider it that. I'm really coming from a place of sharing the resources that I have outside of the podcast that I know many, many, many other folks have found incredibly helpful. Speaking of one of those resources, one is my birth plan class. And I'm doing that class live on Tuesday, April 30th at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I love teaching this class live. It's a great way to interact with me, and I'm going to stay at the end for a 30-minute Q&A to answer any questions you have about pregnancy and birth. Go ahead and sign up for that class at drnicolerankins.com/birth plan. I would love to see you there. And if you want to leave me a review for the podcast, also do that. You can do that in Apple Podcast. I really do read all of the reviews. I really do love to hear what you think about the show. So please leave me those honest reviews, just like Madison did in Apple Podcast. I really do appreciate it. Okay, let's get into the birth story episode with Amy. Thank you so much for agreeing to be on the podcast. I'm really excited to have you share your story.
Thanks. I'm really excited to be here and meet you.
So why don't you start off by having you tell us a bit about yourself and your family.
So my name's Amy. I live in the Bay Area with my husband and our son. We also have two cats. I'm an architect and I design public schools.
I think that is the coolest thing to do. Do you enjoy it?
It's so much fun. I just think education is so important, mm-hmm. and like the buildings that you learn in have a big impact. So I really enjoy it, and I like seeing what I create being built.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm just like, for my own curiosity, do you end up doing like new schools, or is it like a lot of renovations of older schools, or a little bit of both?
Most of it's modernizations of old schools. Okay. Is the Bay Area is pretty built out, mm-hmm. so
gotcha.
Sometimes we get a new building, which is really fun, yeah. But most of them are renovations.
Yeah, so. I would imagine. Okay, well, let's get into the pregnancy and birth piece. What's in order to understand what happened during your birth, we got to understand what happened during your pregnancy. So, what was your pregnancy and prenatal care like?
I actually just wanted to start about getting pregnant.
Oh, sure. Yes, please. Yes.
It was. We had a really hard time, so eventually we did. Fertility. We did 4 IUI cycles, 2 egg retrieval cycles, and we did 2 transfers before I finally got pregnant. So I feel like my pregnancy was just really long because there was a lot of hormones, a lot of like attempts to like get us to to day one where the stick turns pink.
Yeah. Yeah. So how long, like, was the process of trying and then during fertility treatments before you got pregnant?
Yeah. So we tried like naturally for a year. Mm-hmm. And then we tried for another year, and I was really lucky that it was just 1 year. So it was about 25 months before we were lucky enough to have a baby on the way.
Okay. That's a long time. Was it hard? I don't want to put words in your mouth, but like, how challenging was it for you?
I mean, it was extremely hard. Mm-hmm. It's just really isolating and painful. And even though you're like in it with your husband, it's still hard.
Yeah.
Hard for us to go through it together. And it just costs a lot. So I'm really lucky that we were able to do that and even have some embryos frozen.
Yeah, okay.
For the next baby.
Okay. Nice. Well, that's great. So then when you found out you were pregnant, obviously there was some joy there. When did you feel like excited? Were you worried about miscarriage, or when did that sort of settle in that this was actually happening?
Yeah, we definitely like were very cautious to celebrate. We thought like maybe our journey wasn't over, definitely mm-hmm. worried about miscarriages. So, it wasn't till like the 12-week ultrasound that we started getting really excited because everything was coming back normal. Right. Obviously, we got past like that initial couple of weeks where miscarriages are likely mm-hmm. or more. I was at the 12-week ultrasound where we just left like on a high, so excited. And the nausea ended. I didn't have a lot of nausea, but I did have a little bit.
Gotcha.
So by 12 weeks, it was gone.
Okay. Good. So then what was your pregnancy, the rest of your pregnancy like? What was your prenatal care like?
I loved being pregnant. I had a really easy pregnancy from that point mm-hmm. on. The prenatal care was a little bit more difficult.
Okay.
I went to a big teaching hospital here in the Bay Area, and just like scheduling with them was really hard.
Really?
You would think scheduling was hard.
Just because they didn't you would think a big place would have a lot of options, but no.
They have, a great reputation, and they take really high risk cases. And so I think they have a lot of demand.
Gotcha.
The pregnancy care, they were great. So it was UCSF.
Okay.
So the first part was a little hard. I never saw the same like midwife uh-huh. or nurse practitioner. Uh-huh. So every time it was somebody new, it was hard to get the appointments in. Like in the beginning, they didn't seem really friendly. As like I got bigger, they got friendlier. I think they as you get closer to delivering, it's like more important, I guess, the relationship.
Gotcha.
At first, I don't think they were like, oh, she's doing fine.
Right.
Next.
Gotcha. Yeah. So you were seeing midwives mostly?
Mm-hmm. They have a really strong midwifery program, which I really liked, that they think like every birth should have a midwife. Mm-hmm. And I liked that philosophy that they had.
Gotcha. Yeah. And do you feel like, did they spend time with you, or were the visits still rushed?
The visits were definitely rushed. Mm-hmm. I feel like I had to get all my questions in at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they were always pushing us out the door. I also didn't have a lot of questions, so I wasn't too concerned yet.
Gotcha.
But yeah, the prenatal care wasn't as
warm and fuzzy.
Mm-hmm. As I would have hoped.
Okay.
I know now that I know the system, I know that you can see the same person over and over again, which might have helped. But at the time, it was just so confusing and so hard to schedule. And
gotcha.
The people who answer the phones weren't as nice as the people providing the care.
Got it. And so every visit you saw something different, but still within the midwifery model. So what did you do to prepare for your birth?
I tried to do everything possible. I definitely listened to this podcast. I listened to the Hypno What podcast. I read a lot of books.
The Hypno, what was it you said?
Hypno What?
Oh, I haven't heard of that.
It's about hypnobirthing.
Okay.
She's Irish, I think.
Okay.
Or British.
Right.
Very, very similar to the books I read.
Got it. And you said, what books did you read?
Expecting Better. Mm-hmm. What to Expect When You're Expecting. Mm-hmm. I read Like a Mother, which I thought was a really good one. It talked a lot about the postpartum experience, which I don't feel like the other ones did as much.
Okay. Okay. That's another one I haven't heard of, like a mother. Okay. You said you took a...
I took a push prep class.
Okay.
Which, like, they did exercises and then they taught you about how to push. And I found that to be the most helpful.
So it was only just related, like, it wasn't like a full childbirth education class. It was just focused on pushing.
I mean, a lot of it was about childbirth. Uh-huh. We did take another childbirth class and they covered a lot of the same things, but this was a lot about like the mechanics of pushing and like what it might feel like and getting you strong.
Right. Right.
With the exercise class that it starts with to be prepared. I highly recommend it.
Okay. And this was an in-person class?
No, that's the bad part. It was online.
Got it. Okay. So you read books, you did classes. What are some things that you wanted for your birth?
I wanted to like outsmart the birth plan. Like I wanted to have a birth plan that was so flexible. Like when I was done, I could say, yes, I accomplished it.
Right.
Which I learned impossible, but we'll get there. Yes. I wanted to like really experience labor. I wanted to like feel the pain. And then like, as soon as I was done with that, I was okay with drugs, but I didn't want to be pressured into any drugs.
Got it.
Or epidural.
Got it.
And I like really obsessed over the golden hour. Mm-hmm. I just wanted my baby to come out and I wanted to hold him and not have anybody bug me for as long as I possibly could.
Yeah. That's totally normal. And was there anything that you were afraid or scared of about your birth?
I didn't have any fears. I was kind of naive. I thought, like, I got this. I have a really high pain threshold. So I figured I was in really good hands.
Right.
I had a strong plan. My husband, my mom, and my doula were going to be there. Like, I thought I had covered all the options.
Got it. Okay. All right. And at what point did you hire a doula?
It was at the end of the second trimester and at the beginning of the third. One of the things that I found really helpful is they had a survey question. Mm-hmm. And one of the questions on there was like, what would make a cesarean, like what type, what about a cesarean would like be a good experience?
Oh, okay.
And I like freaked out. I was like, there's no cesarean that's going to be a good experience. Like, mm-hmm. I don't want that. That's not happening to me. Mm-hmm. And I had a therapist and we like walked through it and like knowing the options about like what you can ask for for cesarean made it a lot better.
Right.
And so then I was like, okay, we're just going to add that to the plan. If it happens, I know how I want it to happen. And it became a lot less scary to me.
Gotcha. Okay. And then I guess how many times did you meet with your doula during your pregnancy?
So we went with a company, so they had four different doulas.
Okay.
So we met with two one time around 32 weeks, and then we met with the other two at like 36 weeks.
Okay.
So I just met with them once. Of course, they like gave you their phone number, and there's one person that like I could ask all my questions to, I could call. She was going to be on phone support, and then whenever we went to the hospital, they would send whoever was on call.
Okay. Got it. So that's interesting that they had a system where they had their own kind of call system sort of thing.
Yeah. I think it takes the pressure off. Like if you're expecting that one person and they can't make it now, there's like three. And if you didn't hit it off with one, they would try to send somebody else, but they were all really nice and caring. And I would have liked any of them to be there.
Dr. Mom Butt Balm is a pediatrician-approved skin protectant free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide. It was developed by a mom who is also a doctor when she couldn't find any traditional products that worked for her baby's persistent diaper rash. Diaper rash can be one of the worst experiences your little one has to go through, and keeping their delicate skin happy and healthy shouldn't require a spatula to apply thick, goopy treatments that can be just as irritating and uncomfortable as the diaper rash itself. Use just a small amount of Dr. Mom Butt Balm to help soothe your baby's skin and feel good about making the right choice. Dr. Mom is committed to providing an ultra-premium formula for moms who will not settle when it comes to their little ones. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with simple, quality ingredients, no artificial dyes or preservatives, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Head to Amazon.com or Walmart.com to grab Dr. Mom Butt Balm because nothing comes between you and your baby, especially not diaper rash. So then what happened with your labor and birth?
So it was actually my 6-year wedding anniversary, and my husband had agreed to watch the Barbie movie with me.
Okay.
And it was in the middle of the Barbie movie that I realized, like, I was having contractions.
Right.
And I was probably having them all day, and I just thought it was pain, like, uh-huh. He was getting ready to come out. I didn't realize they were contractions. And so we finished the movie, and I was like, I'm going to take a bath. You pack the car. And I know you're not supposed to, but I started timing my own contractions. And
I mean, you have to have some idea of how far along.
I was so curious.
Yeah, yeah.
And I couldn't wait for my husband to be done.
right.
So they were like 3 minutes apart for like 45 to 90 seconds each. And so I was like, I went from like 0 to 60 really, really fast.
Okay.
And as soon as that like bathtub was cold, I was like, we're going to the hospital.
Okay.
I'm ready.
So you feel like the intensity ramped up pretty quickly?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Like I didn't have time to like prepare or get used to it. I felt like now we're in labor.
It's go time.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. So how far was your drive to the hospital?
It was like 25 minutes.
Okay. So not too terrible.
No. And it was at night. So.
Oh, that's helpful.
There was, you know, no traffic.
Yeah. So what happened when you got to the hospital?
I was like crawling at the walls.
so it really hit you like full on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I couldn't lay down to like have them check me or get me into, you know, be able to admit me. So the nurse was like, do you want fentanyl? And I was like, before I would have said no because of all the things about fentanyl in the media, but it's medical use and they like explained how safe it is.
Right.
So I said yes.
Gotcha.
And that definitely took the edge off and they were able to like check me and get an IV in.
So that's interesting. Before they even tried to do a cervical exam, they're like, let's get your pain under better control because right now we can't do anything.
I could not lay on my back. Like I was throwing up.
Got it. Okay. All right.
There was no like
it touching wasn't
me.
Happening. Got it. No. And then I should ask, were you before your due date, or like where were you in relation to your due date?
So this was the day before my due date.
Okay. So you were, it wasn't completely unanticipated that you could go into labor.
Yeah.
And had there been any discussion about induction or what was the discussion there?
There was. I had an induction scheduled for like 40 and a half weeks. So I think it was on the Wednesday and this was a Saturday.
Got it. So you went to labor before any induction talk. Were you comfortable with induction? I should ask that.
I mean, I didn't want to because I wanted to be natural. I know like there's some like when you I didn't want to have like the cascade of interventions. I wanted to like be as natural as I could. So I really didn't want, but I was very uncomfortable.
Gotcha.
And so like every day I was like more and more okay.
With, more and more open to it. Yeah. Like,
maybe we'll just get this, you know, get him out.
Yes. Yeah. The end of pregnancy can be a challenging time. We're just like, I want my body back, please. Like it's time for you to get out. Yeah. So.
Definitely.
All right. So you get there, you get the pain medicine that helped. And then is that when they checked your cervix?
I was 4 centimeters and thin.
Okay.
So. Not as far as I had hoped, but
but still in good shape. So you're definitely in good labor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So what happens after that?
Next, they offered me epidural and I was like, I'm going to take it. So they get me in my room. The resident comes in, very nice, gets all the paperwork, explains everything, gets ready. And then we're waiting. She kept paging the attending to supervise, but he wasn't responding. He didn't show up. And so we were just waiting. Right. My mom thinks it was about an hour. I have no sense of time at this time.
Okay.
But he eventually shows up and he's not friendly.
Did it feel like a long time to you?
It did not. I was shocked when my mom thought it was an hour because I was just like every contraction, we're breathing, we're like
getting through a contraction, getting through the next one. Gotcha. And so he showed up and you said he wasn't nice.
No, he was very like short with the resident. He didn't introduce himself to me at all. She like at one point asked, "Is this long enough?" And he said something about like the problem's not the length, the problem's her. And I'm just sitting there like, oh my gosh, like I'm not gonna say anything because there's a huge needle back there somewhere. But he was just really rude to her, and I don't know if he was sleeping or in another procedure and he got pulled away, but he was not friendly or nice.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make you feel good about this person sticking a needle in your back.
Yeah, who I had had a lot of confidence in until this guy came in. And,
right.
Yeah. Okay. I was like, I could hear you.
Yes. So then how did the procedure end up going after? I mean, hopefully it went in and it was straightforward.
I mean, it was really smooth. I didn't feel anything. And like when they laid me back down, it was really strong at first. Like eventually it weared off enough where I could like help them move my legs. Uh-huh. But at first I couldn't feel anything and I couldn't move at all.
Okay. So it was pretty dense. How did you feel? Some people find that it's weird because like, you know, your legs are there, but you can't feel them. So what was that like for you?
I mean, I didn't find it that weird.
Okay.
I was also like sleepy.
I was scared. I was going to ask. You said it was the middle of the night. So had you gotten any sleep at all?
Yeah. So I got like the epidural around like 12:45. And so I think I was just tired and glad the pain was gone because I went to sleep quickly after that.
Okay, good. All right. So then what happened with the rest of your labor?
So they came back at like 3:30 mm-hmm. and they checked and no progress, still 4 centimeters. And they wanted to break the water. Mm-hmm. And so I said, okay, like I don't feel anything. We got to move this along.
Right.
The birth plan's out the window. And there was a lot of meconium in the water.
Okay.
But then I went back to sleep.
Okay.
And at 5, they woke me up again. They're like, no progress. We want to start Pitocin. I was like, great. Again, I'm sleeping. Right. I can't feel it. Why not?
Okay.
And I like had a headache at that same time. Mm-hmm. So they gave me Compassine and Benadryl.
Okay.
And I like went back to sleep.
Okay.
And then this is kind of like where the birth turns. I wake up around 7 a.m. Uh-huh. just shaking, like uncontrollably.
Right.
And the doula is like, this is normal. Like, this is the epidural or labor. Like, just take deep breaths. Mm-hmm. You're going to be okay.
Okay. Oh, at what point had the doula got there? When did she get there?
She got there right after my epidural.
Okay. So that's good. And so your mom was there, the doula, and your husband.
Yeah.
Okay. So you woke up shaken uncontrollably, and then...
And it just kept escalating, and no matter how many deep breaths I took, I could not get it under control. Mm-hmm. And, I don't remember a lot what happens next, but I know, like, from the medical records and talking to everybody, like, I had extremely high blood pressure, a high heart rate. My kidney wasn't working right. I had a urine problem. I went back to sleep and they came back in and woke me up and were trying to figure out if I was having an allergic reaction to the Compassine.
Right.
Which they ruled out because the antidote for that is giving Benadryl, and I had them together.
Okay.
And so then they were thinking maybe it's preeclampsia, but eventually they realized that I had an infection. They thought it was chorio. So, and of course the baby's not doing that great now either.
Right.
So they gave me antibiotics and fluid and hope like once I get better, then he'll do better.
Okay.
And we'll be like back on track.
Okay.
This also happened like right at shift change.
Of course.
So there was like double the doctors trying to mm-hmm. come in and out and figure out what was going on. And at this time, like I was sleeping, I did not know how serious it had gotten.
Right.
I had just like woken up and like everybody, my support team looked terrified. And I wasn't like I feel like my emotions and my thinking brain had turned off, and we were purely on like my body's intuition.
Okay.
And so I wasn't even scared. It was like noted, like something's going on.
Right.
I'm going to go back to sleep.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Did you have a high, did you have a fever?
I had a fever.
Okay.
I was like from the Pitocin, like contracting constantly. Uh-huh. So they turned that off because of all the stress. It was just like too much.
Okay. Okay. Were they concerned that you kept going back to sleep? Like, did they think you were sort like out of it, or were like, it's just interesting to me that you just like were, you know, that it was that you feel sort of like you don't remember like necessarily a lot of the details because you were kind of out of things. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think part of it was because I was sick. I kept going to sleep. I mean, they were waking me up fairly regularly.
Right, right.
And I know they like came in to ask me a whole bunch of questions about the allergic reaction. So I was able to respond to them even though like I couldn't open my eyes.
Really? Oh my goodness. Okay, so what happened from there?
So next my heart rate plummets. Or not my heart rate, my blood pressure plummets to like 85 over 50. And then I think that's when they realized it wasn't just an infection. There was sepsis.
Yeah.
I had sepsis. I don't know how you say it.
Yeah. Oh.
And so then they got really concerned and started monitoring the baby more often. And of course, he went into distress, had late D cells, and that's kind of time to recommend a cesarean.
Okay. Okay. And how were you feeling? I mean, when they talked about cesarean, like what was your thought process?
So actually right before they came in to recommend that, like I had woken up enough to hear my husband and my mom saying, oh, like we're going tomorrow. She's not making very much progress. I was only at 5 centimeters.
Okay.
And in my head, I was like, we're not going to tomorrow. As soon as they offer a cesarean, I'm taking it. Like we definitely need to get this baby out.
Okay.
And I felt like really at peace with it. Like,
right.
There's, like, that's the only way forward is a cesarean.
So, okay. And at what time was this?
It was at 9:20, 9:30.
In the morning. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So, and how was your family with the decision? Like, were they also?
I mean, everybody was on board. I think everybody was really scared. I mean, they were getting the updates in real time, and the doctors had come in to tell them, like, that there's a good chance the baby has an infection too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I think they were, you know, more scared than I was. I didn't know to be scared yet.
Right. Wow. Okay. So then you go back for the cesarean, and then what was the cesarean process like?
I mean, I was definitely like, stay calm. We are not panicking during the cesarean. And they topped up my epidural really good, so I didn't feel anything. I felt like this huge rush of blood, and I thought like I was going to faint, but it was because they had pulled the baby out and all my organs had, you know, more space.
Right.
And they like said, the baby's out. So of course it's silent because we're all waiting for him to cry.
Right.
And he like gurgles, and then I'm assuming they, you know, suctioned any liquid out, and we heard a good cry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then was it just your husband in the OR, or could your doula come back too?
No.
Okay.
It was just my husband, one person.
All right. And then was the surgery itself straightforward?
Yeah. I mean, that's what I remember. They took the baby to the incubator. Mm-hmm. I didn't get to, you know, they showed him to us, but it's a really far ways. I don't know. It's impossibly far when you have that curtain in front of your face and they're trying not to drop it and not show your husband. So that kind of like, you know, snapshot my dream of this golden hour. But the rest of the cesarean was pretty normal.
Okay.
I mean, it's stressful because I don't speak surgeon or doctor.
Right.
And they're like talking about all this blood. And I'm like, oh my gosh, am I bleeding out?
Right.
It feels much longer. But after it was done, the surgeon came over and was like, yep, that was pretty normal. You bled a little bit more than normal, but everything looks good. And we think you can try for a VBAC the next time. And I was kind of like shocked, like, there's not going to be a next time.
And did they bring your baby over to you while you were still in the OR, or did he stay in the warmer the whole time?
So they let my husband go over there while they were still sewing me up. When we were both like done, when I was done and sewed up, they brought him over to me and I got to see him very briefly. And then they took him to the ICU or the intensive nursery.
Well, oh, why is that? Because of the concern for infection?
Mm-hmm. And the meconium.
Okay.
Like they wanted to keep him on positive air pressure.
Got it. Yeah. Okay.
And they were really concerned about the infection.
Okay. Okay. All right. So then what happened for you postpartum, for both of you postpartum?
Well, I went to the ICU too. So for like our first 24 hours, we were apart.
You were really sick. I mean, you had to be really sick to go to the ICU.
I mean, I was on pressors, and so you can't go to the PACU if you're on pressors. And so, yeah, I mean, I was the healthiest person in the ICU.
Right.
That's what my nurse told me, but you're still in the ICU.
Yeah. Okay. So you were there for 24 hours. You all were separated, unfortunately. And then how long, then you were able to come out of the ICU. And then what was the remainder of your postpartum course after that?
Like we stayed a week in the hospital. Like it took them, I had to be upgraded on the antibiotics because my infection wasn't like responding to the first set.
Okay.
I got an ileus because of the, so that was hard to to get through. That was probably the hardest part.
Right.
And then at the end, because they thought I had preeclampsia too, they wanted to monitor me on blood pressure medicine before we went home.
Okay. So you were in the hospital for a week after the birth.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez. Okay. And then what happened with your son? Like how long was he in the NICU?
He was only in there for 24 hours and he did not get an infection.
Okay.
And he was completely fine.
Okay. Well, good. So he was able, once you came out, you both came out and then you were back together.
That's right.
Okay. How did all of the things that were going on with you impact breastfeeding?
I mean, that's kind of a miracle. It took 6 days for my milk to come in, but ever since like we're going strong, I'm still breastfeeding him 100%.
Okay. This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company built from the ground up to deliver real innovation on behalf of babies and parents. Their mission is simple: make the best formula in the world. Using the latest in breast milk science, ByHeart created a clinically proven, easy to digest infant formula that's made with organic, grass-fed whole milk, certified clean ingredients, and features a patented protein blend that gets closest to breast milk. Their blend includes the most abundant protein found in breast milk, alpha-lac, as well as lactoferrin, the number one protein found in colostrum. In addition to its patented protein blend, their formula includes prebiotics and an 80-20 whey to casein ratio, like in early breast milk, which is tailor-made for a newborn's digestive system and makes it an easy-to-digest formula. Curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code Dr. Nicole for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. So then you got home. Like, what were you like, how were you feeling when you left the hospital? Like,
I mean, I think I was still in shock. I think like my emotions and my thinking brain had turned off when I got my epidural.
Uh-huh.
And so I like got home and was like, now I have this baby. What do I do?
Right.
I had like overemphasized this like TV moment where the baby gets flopped on your chest and you're like crying with joy and love and euphoria, and that like never came. So it was a really like hard time because I'm like so sad for myself that I don't have that joy.
Right.
I'm so sad for my baby because he has this like weepy mother that doesn't like feel these strong emotions for him.
Right.
So it took like, luckily I had a good therapist from like the fertility journey and she helped me a lot, and it took about 4 to 6 weeks for like that like love, the love and the like obsession to start and to really have those like strong feelings for him and start to connect with him.
Right.
And I like had no idea that that could happen.
Right.
I just thought as soon as the baby's out, you have this strong connection to your baby. I didn't realize that you could like be in shock and that it would take some time to turn back on your feelings and have those.
Yes. Thank
those this, mama love.
Thank you. This I'm so grateful that you're being honest about this, because I think it's something that a lot of people don't talk about, is that you may you may not have that immediate connection, and that it took some, not just a couple days, but for you it took weeks to find it. And especially I'm guessing too, you know, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I'm do you feel like because you have waited so long for this baby that it was, you know, like, why am I not having this moment? Did you think any of that?
Exactly. Like I thought I had struggled enough with the infertility and then with this like crazy birth.
Right.
That like, I was like, I'm due.
Yeah.
I'm due. So good luck. This is not fair.
Gotcha. Okay. So then how was your physical recovery from the C-section?
I feel like went like slightly better than I expected. Mm-hmm. I know like I was still like cut in half, but it took like about 3 weeks before I felt like I could stand up straight. And then like another 3 weeks of like, yes, this is in pain, but I'm still getting back to my normal routine.
Okay. And then when did you go for your postpartum check?
I mean, I went early. I went like 2 weeks after, because everybody was so concerned. So I went at 2 weeks and 6 weeks.
Okay. Did they ever give you like an explanation as to what they think happened with you? Like why you got so sick?
I mean, the surgeon has a belief, and I kind of feel that it's accurate. She thinks that it was the membrane sweep that I got the week before I went into labor, that there might have been like a little hole in the amniotic sac that the infection got through. I mean, it's a little gross, but I lost my mucus plug. And then like I just kept, mucus just kept coming out, and it started to get to the point where I was like, this is green. This looks like a sinus infection color. Like, I don't think this is right. So like I was about to like, cause I had told them, oh, it's green yellow at my OB appointment a couple days before I went into labor. But I wasn't like, I'm concerned.
Right.
Like, is green yellow okay? And they were like, yes. But then I was like, oh, I think that was definitely green.
Okay. Wow. Oh my goodness. Okay. Did you have the GBS bacteria?
I did.
I forgot to ask. You did. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Which can definitely increase the chances of infection. Okay. So how are you feeling about the whole thing?
I feel surprisingly like really at peace with it. I don't think there's any other way it could have happened. And I feel like my body really saved me.
Right.
Like it got the baby out before the before he could get an infection. And I feel if I wasn't so sleepy and out of it, I would have like questioned more and like debated the pros and the cons, and what if we do nothing? And like, I really want it to be natural. Like, I'm going to fight longer. And I think for our recovery's sake, it was just better that it all happened quickly and we can get the individual medical care we needed.
Right.
And get back on track.
Okay. I'm curious, what did your husband, your mother, your doula say? Like, did they say anything about their perspective of what was going on?
The doula had the most opinions, right? She thought that the care was a little hectic and she was like constantly wondering like, who's in charge? Like, who's going to come in and know what's going on? But I think sometimes like medical things are a problem to be solved, and right. you can't just get the test and say, oh, it's preeclampsia, right. oh, it's an infection.
Right.
Like, it happened all so fast that they were just doing the best with the information they had.
Right, right.
And because I wasn't awake when they were, like, hectic and scrambling, right. like, I feel, like, at peace and calm, where they saw this, like, scary moment right. where nobody really knew what was happening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, okay. Oh, and were you under the care, did you start under the care of the midwives in the hospital and then, like, transition to physicians, or was it the midwives up until your C-section, or, like, how did that work?
No, I think from the beginning I had a doctor.
Okay, okay. All right, all right.
As soon as I entered the hospital.
Gotcha, gotcha. But somebody you hadn't met
yeah.
before. Yeah, yeah, okay, all right. So then I guess as we wrap up, what is your one favorite piece of advice? What is the one thing you'd like to leave listeners with?
I mean, I just want to leave them with, like, trust your body. Mm-hmm. Like, your body's going to get you through this. Your mind might have all these other ideas about what's happening, but your body knows what to do, and it will get you through. And
right. Right.
I don't want to add any more.
Okay. Okay.
To, you know, we already do enough. If you're listening to this podcast, you're doing enough.
All righty. So where can women connect with you? You can say nowhere if you want to.
If they want to connect, I'm happy for you to give them my email.
Okay. We'll put that in the, I don't want you to, we'll put it in our show notes, because that, like, spam bots pick up all kinds of stuff. So, or people can reach out to us and we
exactly.
can connect them
yeah.
with you. So how about that? All right. All right. Well, thank you so much for agreeing to come and share your story. Certainly not typical, but some really important things that people I know will learn from.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Wasn't that a lot? Thank you so much, Amy, for agreeing to come onto the podcast and share your story. After every episode, when I have a guest on, I do something called Dr. Nicole's Notes, where I talk about my top takeaways from the conversation. Here are my Dr. Nicole's notes from my conversation with Amy. One, I think her body was so focused on fighting infection, and that's why she was so sleepy. Obviously, I don't know, I don't have her records in front of me, and I wasn't there, but I really suspect that her body was just so focused on that infection that she really did not have energy for anything else. Really, that's what I believe what was happening. Number two, I want to thank Amy for being honest that it took 4 to 6 weeks for her to connect with her baby. That bonding, that connection is not necessarily instantaneous, and it doesn't mean that you're a bad mom. It just means that you are human. You are getting to know this person on the outside. Your baby is getting to know you too, and sometimes that is going to take time. It doesn't mean that you're any less of a mother or a parent because it took you some time to connect with your baby. Again, it just means that you're normal and that you are human. The next thing I want to talk about is the membrane sweep and green discharge. One, green discharge is generally never okay in pregnancy. Sometimes yellowish can happen, clear, but green is not a good sign. So if you ever have a green discharge, do make your doctor or midwife look at that. And then as far as membrane sweep, a membrane sweep is a process where we put one or two fingers inside the cervix. So you have to be a little bit dilated and just run our finger around in circles. It helps to separate the membrane from the uterus, and it can help bring on labor. This is something where there should absolutely, hands down, without question, there should be permission first. This should be described before it's done. Unfortunately, I see OBGYNs who are like, well, I'm in there checking your cervix anyway. I might as well just strip your membranes. That is a cultural problem that we have in our specialty, that it's considered okay to just do the membrane sweep while we're in there. That is not okay. We need to describe it to you. We need to get your explicit permission first before it happens. And we need to tell you that it's happening, okay? This should never be something that just, oh, I just swept your membranes while I was in there, or that you don't know it happened at all. So definitely, definitely, definitely permission first before a membrane sweep. The way you can guarantee that there's some permission is if your doctor offers to check your cervix towards the end of pregnancy, which isn't necessary, by the way. then you can say, hey, what about a membrane sweep? Are you planning to do a membrane sweep? Just bring up membrane sweep, and whether you do or don't want it, before the cervical exam happens, okay? Before the cervical exam happens. And then the final thing I want to say is, it's really impossible to be prepared for every single thing that can happen during labor and birth. That is what healthcare professionals are trained for. That's what we train years for. But of course, education and preparation help a lot, and they help conquer a tremendous amount of fear. And although you may not understand every single thing that's going on, you'll have a general idea and you'll just feel a lot better about things. So although you can't be prepared for everything, please invest in some education, because that education is going to greatly reduce fear. Another thing that's going to reduce fear is my birth plan class, Make a Birth Plan the Right Way. I teach you how to make a birth plan well before you get to the hospital, so this discussion happens under calm circumstances, and so that you're not having to feel rushed, you're not having to feel pressured, you're doing it under a nice, calm environment of your prenatal visits. And then you know well beforehand about things you can expect in terms of the support for what you want in your birth plan well before you get to the hospital, and you can prepare for that. So I would love to see you in my live class on Tuesday, April 30th. Again, it's drnicolerankins.com/birth plan to sign up. So there you have it. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening to me right now. Also, leave me an honest review in Apple Podcasts. I do read them, and I do love to hear what you think about the show. And that is it for this episode. Do come on back next week, and remember that you deserve a beautiful pregnancy and birth.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.